Dennis is a good guy. How many of you met Dennis? I mean, this is like just a good guy, right? I don't want you up here anymore. Like, now they're being all nice to you, and they were all silent to me. Nobody wanted to say. But, I mean, if anybody, and I've said this before, Dennis is squeaky clean. I mean, squeaky clean. If you listen closely when Dennis passes by, you'll hear it squeak. You do it. I'm pretty sure when he goes to the bathroom, prayers come out. I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, that's Dennis. All right? Sorry. Inappropriate. Yeah. Dennis's testimony and my testimony are totally different. Would you agree? I mean, they're different. In the recovery process of my life, I remember Dennis saying, hey, I don't know. I've not done what you've done. You know? But can I tell you this? Why is it that you feel like you have to be like somebody in order to help somebody? Why you gotta be the same skin color to help somebody? You with me? Why do you gotta be the same nationality to help somebody? Hey, why do you even have to have the same belief system to help somebody? I'm gonna tell you this, Jesus did not go to the ones that believed like him because they were not to be found on earth. Matter of fact, Jesus went to the unbeliever and he ministered to the unbeliever and he cared for the unbeliever. He went to the people that were the most unlike him and he ministered there. So when we look at it, we can sit here and say, hey, I wish I had this testimony. But you know what? Dennis can build and teach and bring people from the testimony he has into a deeper relationship with God. But just because my story isn't as clean as his story doesn't mean that we don't have a Jesus story that is identical in both of our lives. I'll tell you this now. Squeaky clean goes to hell without Jesus. And dirty goes to hell without Jesus. But all go to heaven through Jesus. Isn't that good? All right, let's throw it back at you guys. Ready? All of us that don't have this story are still going to stand in the same glory because of the same Savior that was applied to our lives. We don't get there another way, guys. We get there the same way the good ones get there, you know? And so understand this. If good or bad, sometimes we say, I wish I was. Instead of just saying, okay, God, here's where I am. What can you do here? What can you build here? Sorry about that. Thank you. You can go back to handing out your things. I know that we live in a generation that it's performance-based. Let's be real. Your job is based on performance. Your social media account is based on performance. If you have so many followers or likes or people watch your videos, you get paid to be an influencer. You know, if you're very good at a video game, you can get paid to play online. I mean, it's really a cool generation that we live in. But the reality is our mindsets, I believe, have shifted from accepting who God has made us to be to trying to create an image that we think other people will accept. And I know that as we come into church, a lot of times I feel like we come under this attack and this positioning of saying, okay, I'm called by God, but God's going to be able to use me once I get to a place of usability. When God's saying, I called you, I've equipped you where you are. You say, well, I don't have a talent or a gift. You have Jesus, and that is all you need. It's not about whether you can sing. It's not about whether you can dance. It's not about whether you've got a drug history or whether you've got a clean history. It's about Jesus. Jesus is the ability. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us the power. It gives us the opportunity, and you are fully equipped. And somebody needs to hear this today. Not only have you been called by God for today, you've been equipped for this day. Stop living in tomorrow and hoping God can use you down the road and ask God what he wants you to do right here in the spot of which you stand in life and sit in life. Right here, you say, hey, if my marriage was better, we could help marriages. Your marriage would get better if you started helping marriages today. And the enemy wants to tell you one day you can, where God says, I've already done. And if you're waiting on the day you can and be qualified in your own mind, you will never achieve it. You're always going to be lacking something. Am I right? Some of you in this room, you've never lacked materially, yet you still have material desires. Am I right? Let's go into our closets right now. Everybody step in there with me. How much is in there that you never wear? Let's go to our food pantry or our cupboard or whatever the official word is for where your canned goods are. How much is in there that's expired? You don't even know. You like gamble every time you open a can. It could have been last year. All right, but here's the thing. How many of us have more than we need today? You slip your hand up. Come on. How many of you got more than you need in some area of your life, and yet you still have desire? Is desire a bad thing? Yeah, thank you, Daniel. No, I'm tired of the churches trying to put people down. Hey, can I tell you this now? If you don't have a vision for life to get better in the Lord, then you're not going to go anywhere, and you're never going to accomplish anything. If you don't have a vision of what you want to see accomplished through your life, then you're never going to put in the effort to get there. Does that make sense? People go on vacation with a destination in mind. You're not going to have much of a vacation if you get in the car and look at somebody and say, "Where do you want to go?" Am I right? You're going to go nowhere, or you may. Me and my wife one time drove all the way to Gatlinburg to eat, got stuck in traffic, turned around. 4 hours later, we finally got to lunch 5 minutes from our house. I mean, in all honesty, if we get in there and we say, "Okay, where do you want to go?" I am tired, and I'm going to say this very boldly. I am tired of people, when a church talks about growing, starting to say that that's a bad desire. Because the Bible says in this very passage, just about 12 verses later, that the church has to be built. It has to be built. It has to be built. And the Bible tells us that we should not build anything without advice or counting the cost. We need desire today. If you are in a great marriage, you should still want a better one with the partner you're with. If you're in a great career, you should still want to be promoted. You say, "Well, that's bad." No, it's not. What's bad is when you settle for where you are and you believe that you can't go any further than where you've gone. Hey, God didn't just free you from drugs. God didn't just free you from that sex addiction. God didn't just take away all those things that were holding you back so that you could have a conquering story. He wants you to be more than a conqueror. He'll help you conquer it, and then He'll make you a slayer of it so that others can conquer it too. Are you with me today? And it says this, that we got to be humble and gentle. You know what I wrote by be humble and gentle? This is what I wanted you to add to your notes. Give them Jesus. You cannot be humble and gentle without knowing Jesus. I really feel like you can be a nice person and you can be a good person, but you are rarely an overgiver. Or you rather, do lost people still give and go, "Yes, absolutely"? I'm not saying that you have to have Jesus to be a giver, because there are a lot of givers that do not know Jesus at all. But what I am saying is this: Jesus gives us the ability to love people that are unlovable. That's gentle. He gives us the ability to put a flower on the cake to make it more presentable. How many of you know what I'm talking about when you get that cake that has the icing? The icing's my favorite part. Anybody else still the kid inside? But then they mound up that flower that's like 3 inches off the cake. And you know what happened. You go to the wedding, and let's be real, while I love weddings, I'm really there for the cake, all right? I love you, but I'm here for the cake. No, I'm just kidding, but seriously. All right, so you go past the cake, and they start to cut it. Anybody else like this? You're like the vulture, and you're just kind of walking back and forth, waiting. "Oh, do you want a piece of cake?" "No." You know why? You're waiting on the corner. Am I right? You want 2 sides of icing and a 3-inch rose. And you're just waiting. "Everybody got cake?" "Yeah, okay." You know why I decided I want some cake? I want all that's left, right? No other fat kids in the church today, all right? The thing is this, like, the gentleness is that icing on the cake. The love that Christ can give us becomes the way that we minister in difficult situations. Hey, the world is full of difficult people. You are one of them, and so am I. The world is full of peculiar people, unique people. You are one of them, and so am I. If we're humble and gentle, that's us giving them Jesus. Look at the next statement it says in verse number 2. Always be humble and gentle, but be patient with each other. You know what I wrote by that one? Give them time. Hey, can I tell you this, and I want to show it. I don't even know how I'm going to show it yet, but Tyler, come here. All right, matter of fact, it's perfect. Come on. You ready? I really want this. I really do. so bad. Last night, or this morning it was, I got my razor out and I started trying to trim my beard. Have you ever done that?
No.
What happens when you do that?
Messed up, Nola.
All right, so you're saying my beard looks messed up. Thanks for saying that. That's good. I'm glad. You mess it up. Bad. I'm gonna tell you, you know, I remember when I was 16, and this is so gross. I got my first armpit hair. Anybody else remember that? All right. 16. I was 16. I was late. All right. So I got an armpit hair. I was so proud of that thing. You know, like I just really felt like I was a man. Any other guys ever do this? Or is this just me? Chris, come on. Man, that ain't right. All right, so here we go. I remember feeling like a man. Like I remember feeling like deodorant made me a man. All right? And all these things made me. But I also remember wishing, this is weird, okay? It's a long time ago, that I had more hair. Like I wanted that, you know, that hairy chest that you could unbutton two buttons. It's back in style then, all right? Not that it's not in style now. I don't know why I'm telling you this story. But you know what I found? It takes time, right? You get one, it takes time. You start growing your beard out, it takes time. Some of you are still hoping your hair grows out. And it's taking time. It's not coming. Am I right? And if you're not careful, you get impatient. And when you get impatient, sometimes you get discouraged. And you know what some people do? They just shave it all off because they don't like the spotchiness. They don't like this. They don't look like this day one. So they rip the beard totally off. You say, that's such a dumb analogy. It's really not when you think about this. Some people want a better marriage, but when it doesn't happen overnight, they quit. I mean, some of you right now want a better relationship with God. And you sprouted a hair, a spiritual hair. You've got an itch and a tingling. You've got an excitement. You've got this thing of saying there's something to this and there's something good that can happen through this. But when hair two doesn't come the next day, you quit. Am I right? Some of us say, hey, you know what? I want our church to grow. And when we're not back to the size we hope we are and the amount of time that we set for ourselves to get there, we believe that there's something wrong with us or we're not getting it right. And we start going the opposite direction. And next thing you know, you never have this spiritual beard because you've got this one because you can't be patient enough to allow it to go through. And it's true. He can tell you it's true. You've got to go through deformity before you can actually see it take fullness. Am I right? It gets weird. It does this little bend in and back out thing. It does. How many of you have ever grown the beard? You know what I'm talking about? It doesn't come in the way you want, but as you allow it to grow, it fills itself out until you're able to have a beard of this nature. And you're the beard model today. Sorry. Follow this. When you start trying to serve the Lord, it is awkward sometimes, and you don't do it right. The first time you publicly speak is probably not going to be the best you ever do. The first compliment you try to give your wife after years of no compliments is probably going to fall flat on the floor. Am I right? The first time you sit down with your daughter to have tea and she sticks what was in her mouth into your mouth, it's going to be weird and awkward, especially if you have gag reflexes like mine. You say, what am I? I am so sick and tired of churches believing that just because somebody walked through the door, they should be like Jesus by the time they leave. It takes time. I mean, how many of you got saved the very first time you heard about Jesus? Slip your hand up in the air. Again, no one. How many of you, it took years? Anybody like that before you gave your heart to Christ? Raise your hand. Raise it high. Let's look around. Look around. Would you guess with me, down on the floor, that's probably 60%, and the balcony, probably 10%. So could we safely say, maybe half of us today, it took years before we accepted the gospel. And yet somehow, we rule people out, and we say that God can never use them, because we're not seeing the results in them that we wanted immediately taking place. We stop giving people the gospel because we presented it, and they rejected it, and before you know it, they're never able to grow into maturity, because we never gave them a chance to stand. You can sit down, thank you. Understand this. If you're always carrying your baby, then don't be surprised when your baby's delayed in crawling and walking. Are you following? How many of you have seen kids take fall after fall after fall before they ever learned how to run? Some of you have special needs kids, and we are those. We know how that feels. You go to therapy after therapy after therapy after therapy with little to no result. And the therapist is working hard, and you're working hard, and you're pouring in. But a lot of times when the result isn't immediate, the temptation is give up. I'm going to speak this today because I believe somebody needs to hear it. You gave up yesterday what has been holding you back. Don't pick it up today because you are not where you wanted to be. You started yesterday to develop the habit that you were hoping would take root. Do not stop now because you're not where you want to be. Be patient. It takes time. It takes repetitiveness. You're not going to be a musician the first time you pick up an instrument. But anybody who desires to be one can become one if they're willing to give it time, effort, energy. If they're willing to put the effort and work in, you can see the results. You want to go somewhere, get a vision of where you're going to go, and then start working today and put the word time in front of you and realize that it's going to take some time to get there. Don't be the little baby Christian in the back seat begging God, are we there yet? At some point, sit back and say, okay, God, I'm in the car. I'm in the road. I'm doing what you told me to do. Hey, I'll tell you this. It'll take a season of doing what's right before you'll ever see the results of what you've done. How many of you didn't get caught the first time you sinned either? Some of you ain't going to raise your hand because you still haven't been caught. You know what I mean? How many of you, let's go back, let's pick on the kids, because none of you want to be honest, ready? How many of you didn't get caught the first time you took a cookie? Anybody else? How many of you got pretty good at taking the cookie? Literally, doing a final walkthrough last week on a house, and the key that they left us would not unlock the top lock on a screen door. Screen doors are a nemesis. I could not get the key to unlock. We had 3 hours to be over at Colonial, and they wanted 2 hours to walk through the house. And I couldn't get them in. And so there was a part of me that goes into this, do I let them know that I am really good at breaking into houses? Do I let them know that I have this gifting, or do I play it, you know, safe? Well, all of a sudden, the other realtor pulls in, and they're like, we've got to do something. And I just look, and I ask the question, do you have a wire hanger? Those are the good ones, you know? And for some reason, the guy has a wire hanger in his car. I haven't seen a wire hanger in years. He brings it out there. We go down to the basement. 30 seconds, we're in the house. The guy that is buying the house is looking at me like, what's up? The realtor literally walks in the door, the seller's realtor, and says, it really helps when you have a realtor who comes from a shady past. And I was like, just pull it. I don't know how we're going to get it shut. And you know what? They looked at me and they said, we're going to go to jail. And I'm like, okay, yeah, we don't need to break in to abandon building. I look at this and I realize that in my life sometimes there are habits that are there because I didn't get caught. You know what I mean? And some of you now have cookie addictions because your mom never caught you. You say, well, what are you saying? I'm saying this. Sometimes it even takes time for your sin to catch up with you. But it will. And you say, are you trying to scare me? No, I'm not trying to scare you. What I'm trying to do is outrun it. I'll tell you right now, God help us. Confession will open doors that hiding in secrets will always keep closed. And you might not, and I'm not even talking about you getting opportunities to preach again. I'm talking this, the ability to sleep at night knowing that there's no phone call that could trip you up. You sitting here, and I'll tell you, I said it last week, if you're the person that's going to court, be honest. If you're the person whose wife is asking what's going on in your life, be honest. If you're the wife whose husband's saying, why are you hiding your phone, be honest. I'll tell you this now. The enemy knows that if you tell the truth will set you free. But if you keep it a secret, it'll keep you in bondage. And I'm telling you, if you haven't had it catch up with you yet, it will catch up with you at some point. I'm not sitting there saying that God's looking to zap you, but I am saying this, God is looking to rescue you, and God is looking to restore you, and God is not looking, here it is, get this, please, church, understand it. God is not trying to expose the sinner, he's trying to expose the enemy that's trying to keep the person in sin today. He's trying to come into your life, Daniel, and say, hey, Satan has done this to you, and this is not the way you're supposed to live. He's trying to come into our churches and say, the enemy has held on to the order of our services far too long, and it's time that we expose the fact that most times we come to church and we play a performance that we mean nothing in. We have no desire, no heart, and it does not work. If the truth has set you free, you are free today. But without the truth, there is no freedom. Are you with me? I'm totally blind right now because I looked at the spotlights. So I don't even know if you're agreeing. All I see is little white lights everywhere. Understand this. It takes time to heal. It takes time to recover. Please write it down. But it only takes one belief to totally change. The moment you decide to take God at his word, change. Proof of change takes time. The moment you decide that you're going to shift the course of life, change happens in your heart. Scott, I'm going to guarantee you, you changed inside long before people ever gave you a chance to change on the outside. If you're the person today that God has changed your heart, stop worrying about what everybody thinks and what's going on the outside. God and time will bring the inside out. And he will take what he has done in here and he will make it known. But if you're the person that's in that person's life, stop demanding the inside to be out immediately and give God a chance to do the work and grow the work and help God grow the person to be able to be used by God in the way that he desires. You're called, you're equipped, and you're positioned. God wants to use you right now. You know what? The best way you could serve God today may not be to tell the sermon. It may be to tell the truth. It may not be to stand and tell everybody how they should live for God. It may be to stand and tell everybody of what God has rescued you from. And you say, well, I want to help people. The best way you can help people is seek help yourself. Let God do the change that he needs to do in you so that he can do the change through you that you desire for him to do. It takes time, church, but it will happen. How many of you believe God keeps his promises today? So be gentle and be humble and be patient. Jesus was on the earth 33 and a half years before the cross ever took place. He ministered for 3.5 years before he ever fulfilled the prophecies he even spoke to his own disciples. Are you following this? We see a crucifixion of Christ by the people who were worshiping Christ just a week before. Why? Because they didn't have the patience to allow him to set up the kingdom that he was going to set up. And because the change didn't happen immediately, and because they weren't freed from Roman control immediately, they killed the one that came to save them. Don't kill the change in your life. And don't kill the change in somebody else's life. Can I just be totally upfront with you of a desire that I have for Grace Community Church? You ready? I pray that we always have problems. Can you start praying that with me? I pray that we're always encountering difficult people in difficult situations. I pray that we always have a baby crying in church, loudly distracting. I pray that we always have kids running up and down the stairs. I pray that we always have a need or a desire, even physically or materially, because the church is growing and on the move. I pray that we always have problems. I don't want to be a church filled with stuck-up Christians. Are you with me? I want to be a church that's willing to stand in the middle of their battle and say, I need help and I need Jesus. I want to be a part of a service one day to where the church is breaking out the confession and we're seeing the Holy Spirit move in a mighty way. I want to be a part where the drug addict feels like they can come in and not be judged, where the tattoo artist can attend and not be condemned. I want to be in a place to where the person that smokes on the outside doesn't get told about their cigarette on the inside. I want to be a place that we're not so focused in what we hate that we forget that our God is a God of love. Matter of fact, declared himself to be love. I want to be a place where we stand and we say, you are welcome here, and you are needed here, and you are desired here, and we want to see God use you here. And we're not asking God to use you 10 years down the road, and we're not asking God to use you once you recovered. We're asking God to use you from the mat that you came in crippled on in the very next moment when he resurrects your legs and you're able to stand on your own 2 feet. We want to see God move, and in order for God to move, there's got to be people he can move through and move in. I pray today that we never get so spiritually mature in our own eyes that we fail to see that we all still need to grow. We all still need to go somewhere. Church, be patient with me. I still deal with a lot of fear and a lot of shame. Be patient with me. Be patient with each other. Wives, be patient with your husbands. Husbands, be patient with your wives. Single person, be patient. Don't crawl into the next bed thinking that person's going to love you. And can I say that again? Don't crawl into the arms of a user seeking love. Be patient with our youth pastor. Be patient with our administrative pastor, executive pastor. Be patient with our music. Be patient with the things. We are learning. And if we're learning, we're going to make mistakes. And if we're learning, we're going to get it wrong. And if we're learning, we're going to have to redo. And that's okay. I am so glad today that my God and your God is a very patient God. And love is patient. It is kind. It gives people a chance to allow God to do a work in their lives. Give others a chance today, because you needed one too, and you'll need one again one day. And I promise to be the one that waits with you and stands beside you and gives you mercy when you need it. I promise and vow to have the grace of God flowing through my veins. I will not forget where God has brought me out of when it's you that's in the pit. I will remember that God has been good to me, and because he's been good to me, we'll be good to you. That needs to be the heartbeat of our ministry today. It needs to be the heartbeat of our home. Because can I tell you, after 6 years of nonstop speech therapy, eventually you get to hear a word. And when that word comes out of your boy's mouth and you've never heard it before, or when that little baby takes that step that they said they would never take, that's a good day. Be patient. The best of your life is yet to come. God's got good things for you. Just forgive me for having a little God moment here, as I really believe, and my mic is dead. Did I kill it? Are you my, yeah, okay, he's got me. He knows when I'm getting hot. I really believe that grace needs to be and will be, and it's God's intention for it to be, a spiritual hospital. And I don't mean that just in statement because it sounds good. I mean, we're really going to get into the sewers of people's lives. The stinky, the nasty. And it's going to be worth it. No offense, but I know some of your stories right now that you don't even know I know. Right? You say somebody tell you, can I tell you this? People don't always have to be the ones that reveal what somebody's going through. We have a Holy Spirit that can do that too. It's called discernment. And some of you are sitting with your arm around your spouse right now, and I totally feel, and you know, it's nothing but a show. Now, if you got your arm around your spouse, that doesn't mean, Gary, you know, don't go like moving. Maybe it's not even a show. Maybe it's a hope. That you're hoping that if you could hold each other today, then maybe something will stick. I want you to understand that today you could literally stand here and tell us the worst thing that we could possibly imagine that you've done. And even if every person in this auditorium turned their back on you, I will not. I will never forget looking at Jordan about July of last year and saying, don't ever let me forget the little guy. Don't ever let me forget what it's like to be this guy that nobody wants anything to do with, but yet God's doing something in their heart and somebody needs to give them a chance to let it out. Is that you today? Because I'm telling you now, it's not church if all we do is come and listen. You know what that is? Class. And I don't know about you, but I was glad to get out of school. Anybody else? I don't want to go to school on Sundays. I want to go to a movement of God. And I'll promise you this. How do you recognize a movement of God? Lives are being changed. That's a movement of God. Sinners are being set free. People's physical conditions are changing. Miracles are happening. That's a movement of God. Anybody say, me too? That's what I want. Me too. Good. Slap the person next to you that didn't raise their hand. All right, here we go. Let's move on. It says, be patient with each other. And here it is. Ready? Make allowance for each other's faults because of your love. So be humble and gentle. Give them Jesus. Be patient. Give them time. Be a forgiver. Give them a chance. Give them a chance. I was talking to somebody, I can't remember who it was this week. We were talking about people when they get out of jail. I've had an inmate tell me this. They can go job to job, door to door, asking for a job, and the best they'll get is minimum wage with no benefits. If their record's the right record. Or they can go to their drug dealer and sell a pill and make $20 a pill, not an hour, a pill. They can go to these big name corporations and they give them barely enough to eat on. Are you with me? Or they can go to their drug dealer and drive a Mercedes. Anybody else see a problem here? You know what happens? The enemy, write it down, will always give people a chance. He will always give them an opportunity because he wants to take their lives and totally ruin it. Not because of the hate that he has towards them, it's the hate that he has towards him that you remind him of. There is always an opportunity to destroy your life, guys. There's always an opportunity to return. It is easy to go back. There is always another temptation waiting for you when you conquer the last temptation of your life. You say, well, I'm not tempted by what I used to be, but are you tempted to quit? Are you tempted to give up? Are you tempted to stop preaching? Are you tempted to not go to church anymore? Are you tempted to stay in bed beyond the alarm clock and not go to work because of what happened? Are you with me? There's always another temptation. The enemy has plenty of opportunities and will give everybody, if there's 7.4 billion people in the world today, then he will create 7.4 billion opportunities to destroy every one of their lives. He'll give them $20 a pill. You know what? There's got to be somebody over here in the name of Jesus Christ saying, hey, we got better than that. You know, I mean, what about a church that's starting to create communities where people that are not accepted in that community can be accepted into a different community? And in this community, they spiritually get nurtured, they physically get nurtured, they emotionally get nurtured, they mentally get nurtured, and the next thing you know, they become a physical nurturer, they become a mental nurturer, they become somebody that starts pouring into people. You may say, I'm crazy, and it may cost millions of dollars, but I believe that we need to be a place that gives people chances to get back up on their feet. Our staff does not need to be making pennies on a dollar so that you can come into a church and worship. They need to be taken care of so that they can go out there and raise their families to be warriors of God. You say, well, why should it just be the staff? My hope is that one day you're on the staff. One day you're able to be there. One day it's like, hey, we don't just have a church. We have a community of believers that are working in orphanages and working in rehabs and working in building and creating businesses and opening doors of opportunity for others. And if today you own a business, give somebody a chance. You say, well, I have protocols. Great, I understand. If you work for somebody else, you got protocols. But I am saying this, you might have an opportunity to invite somebody over to dinner that's never been invited before.
You might have a game night and somebody gets to come to game night and they've never been able to play games with other people before. You say, this is so elementary, then why not do it? If you know what 2+2 is, then why miss the question? And why miss the test? And why miss the answer when it's asked for? Hey, the Bible says if somebody is in need today, what are we supposed to do? Meet the needs or talk about it? I mean, I think we are planning Jesus out of church. Anybody else? I believe we, this may, I may never get to preach again. Ready? I believe we have to be so planned and organized that we don't allow the Holy Spirit to lead us. And I'm going to tell you right now, this is a Sunday morning. I'm going to talk to you as if you're a staff meeting. Ready? If somebody comes into the ministry that you're doing at a church and they ask you if they can help and you don't have need of help, don't you dare ever tell them no. Don't ever look at them and say, we got everything we need. You know what I've found? God does not send you someone for you to reject them. God sends you to someone because they have a vision of a need that needs to be met. Set them free to do it. And somebody may come in and say, what can I help with? You know what happens when we empower each other to be a part of something? Now help is given in areas that we didn't even dream we'd be able to reach today. What would happen if somebody shows up to Bible school that's not on the roster to help teach or not on the roster to help them, and next thing you know, we're actually getting things accomplished in kids' lives that we thought we'd have to wait till next year to do, but because we were willing to give people chances, they were allowed to do things. I'm going to say this now. If we have a God that's not going to base your eternity on what you did on earth, but instead on what Jesus did on earth, then don't you dare base what somebody's able to do on a Sunday for the Lord on what they did yesterday. If God's going to give them an eternity in heaven through Jesus Christ, then give them an hour to serve and greet at a door. Are you with me? They should never preach again. They should never teach again. Well, you know what? You should never go to heaven, but Jesus lets you go too. I mean, that's the reality. I wrote this down here, and please get this. The verse says, make an allowance for each other's faults. Meaning, I mentally know you're going to let me down. All right, so look at somebody and say, you are going to be a disappointment at some point. Some of you were eager to do that. That was your chance. But what's the last four words? Because of your what? Write it down, please. Wade and I were talking about this. You can forgive someone without having ever loved them. But you cannot love someone without ever forgiving them. Let me say it again. You can forgive a person and never love that person. You do it all the time in traffic. You do it all the time in the store, right? Doesn't mean you have any kind of emotional connection to them. But it is totally impossible to truly love someone and refuse to forgive them. You can have forgiveness without love, but you cannot have love without forgiveness. But God demonstrated his love in that while we were still sinners, finish it, Christ died for us. But God demonstrated his love through what? His forgiveness. I will tell you this now. I know it within my heart. I have searched my entire life for love, and now I know I have it. I have spent years, 36 to be exact, trying to figure out if anybody loves me. You say, that's crazy talk. Some of you are in the same situation. You're performing, hoping that somebody will notice you enough to love you. But there's a God that notices you long before you even had the ability to perform and loved you first. We are able to love back because he first gave us love. We're alive today because he lives. It's not because of what we've done. It's all because of what Jesus did. You can get up today, not because you have the strength, but because God put his strength in you. That is why you have ability today. Understand this and grab it. Please don't let it go. You do not have to search for love any longer. There's a God that's been so in love with you that he has chased you since the day you were formed in your mother's womb. Even beyond that, the day you were an imagination in his heart and in his mind, he fell madly in love with you. And because he loves us, forgiveness is available. The church says, I love you, but then they'll talk about you. Amen? How many of you have ever been burnt by a church? Would you slip your hand up in the air? Hold the hand high. How many of you have been burnt? Some of you still got your battle scars, right? How many of you have ever been burnt by somebody you loved? Would you slip your hand up? Testify to that? Yeah, it's everywhere. You know how you know who loves you? The ones that'll forgive. The ones that'll say, I know you did, but I'm not going anywhere. I've said it, and I'll say it again and again and again. I remind Satan of it often. There are times in my life still that I'm scared I'm going to lose my wife. Any other man battle with that from time to time? Even if you're in a good marriage, you can still have that fear. You know, if you got that belief or you see that she's out of your league, it still resonates in your mind that at any moment. But you know what I have to remind Satan of? That my wife has stood beside me when she didn't have to. Stayed with me when even the Bible told her she didn't have to. And when he tries to get my mind saying she doesn't love you, well, I know that's a lie. Because if she didn't love me, she would have never forgave me. I'm going to close here. This wasn't the end. This wasn't even the beginning. This wasn't even supposed to be part of our sermon. You know why I believe the church is so ineffective when it comes to the gospel of Christ? Is we've never fully felt like we deserve the love that Jesus offers, or we've never fully understood it. What was the language of the cross? Father, forgive them. What's the rest of it? For they know not what they do. How many of you have ever acted and then regretted the action? Yeah. How many of you have ever spoke and regretted the words? But you didn't regret it until it happened. And if you had known what was going to happen, you'd have never said it. You'd have never done it. Am I right? I tell my wife, I think I told her this morning or last night. If people only knew, if pastors only knew what hell would unleash on them if they gave in to the temptation that the devil threw at them, they would avoid the sin just due to what hell would bring. Because hell will not stop. It's a roaring lion going back and forth, seeking who it can devour. In this auditorium, as we preach, there's an enemy that has gone back and forth trying to take the mind of the person that the Holy Spirit is trying to set free, trying to distract the heart that Jesus is trying to liberate, trying to harden the heart of the one that God is wanting to use that's in the church where God is supposed to have free reign. We are in a spiritual war as we speak. You know what we have that the enemy could never have. You ready? Forgiveness. He doesn't understand it. He has never grasped it. He has never received it. He has never given it, and yet doesn't understand how a God who is perfect could love something like you and me. You know what I realized? And this was something I was studying the other day. I haven't fully finished it. I'm going to give it to you in beta form. That's a geek word for before we release it. Can you imagine what it has to be like for Satan to have been the one that falls but never gets up when over billions and billions of people fall every single day and yet God restores them every time? Can you imagine what the hate that has to be in the heart of the person that rejected God, was cast out like lightning to the earth, watching someone that he thought he had in his trap get set free by Jesus? I mean, if you don't, you say, well, I can't imagine that. Okay, think of the person you hate the most and don't act like you don't have somebody in your heart that you struggle with. Some of you may not. Some of you are kind and you're mature and God's really grown you, but some of you and I still have bitterness and grudges, right? Right? Anybody else say yes? All five of us, ready? How does it feel when that person gets blessed while you still have your bitterness? You don't celebrate it, do you? You want to act like it on a Sunday. But really, deep down inside, you would love it if their life fell apart, wouldn't you? Come on, am I right? Okay. Some of you have been so hurt by somebody that you have such a despise for that person that you really hope they fall. I've been there. That's the only reason I'm saying it. I'm not saying it in judgment. I've been there. Some people get so hurt by the church, they hope the church closes, thinking that the church is about the person instead of the fact that the church is about God and not about people at all. Are you with me? And when we have that bitterness and we have that hate and God starts to bless and God starts to set free, what's it do to you? It does not make you happy. It makes you angry. Can you imagine how angry Satan is that the best dart he threw at your life, Jesus took away with one simple sentence, "Father, forgive them," because they don't even know what they're doing. They don't know the extent of what they just said. They don't know the extent of what they just did. They don't realize they just crucified your son. They don't realize that the way that they're living is blasphemy against the way that I have designed for them to live. They don't know. So, Father, let's make room, make room, make room for the person who doesn't even know what they're doing today. And heaven will be filled with millions that don't belong. Why? Because God made room for you. And God made room for me. God help us. The church needs to start making some room for some forgiveness for people that we today want to hate, but God today wants to set free. And I'll say it till I die. God does not use justice to get even with you. God uses justice to get even with Satan. So God, in order to get even with what Satan has tried to do in your life, is he heals, he forgives, he saves, he rescues, he restores, he rehabs, he repurposes and reuses. And it ticks the enemy off. So the person you're hoping falls today is the person that Jesus laid down his life for so that they could get back up. Change your heart, be a forgiver, and watch revival start in a nation that's divided by hate. If people would truly know that love requires forgiveness, requires it. And God help us, forgive a Democrat today. Forgive a Republican. Stop posting about how much you hate Trump or Nancy Pelosi. God, we have a whole gospel that's full of the goodness of God, and yet we have to waste our conversation on politics. Come on. We have a whole opportunity. How many of you have been totally delivered from addiction? Stand to your feet right now. Stand to your feet. Totally delivered. They're up there. They're down here. All right, hands. Addiction. Yeah, stand. Now, before you start thinking I'm only talking about drugs, come on, pornographics. Come on, people that now you don't watch pornography anymore. Come on, the person that now doesn't lust after everything that passed them. Come on, stand. It's not about your substance abuse. It's about what spiritually had you bound. Here's the thing. One, two, three. They're still standing. There's enough in your 17, 18 story standing here right now that we could fill up books of how good God is, right? So why are we talking about anything else? Why are we wasting our time talking about whose sin is different than yours? Look around this room. Don't you want to hear the Jesus coming out of these stories? Don't you want to hear the resurrection that took place in this life? You say, well, why do I need that? Because it may just be what you need to get up to. Yes. And for those of you who are standing, you may be tempted to fall and you may be tempted to go back. You know why you're being tempted to fall and tempted to go back. Or you know, you may be tempted to give up. And you know why? It's because there's so much power now. Jesus' death was an incredible event. But will you agree with me? It's nothing in comparison to his resurrection. The fact that he could die for the sins of the world, you could die for somebody today. You can't get yourself back up. And I'm going to tell you this now. You may have a reputation that's dead in the past, but there's a God that wants to resurrect the story of the future. It's the resurrection that matters. Because if Jesus stayed dead, our faith would be in vain. But because Jesus is alive today, we get to live too. Are you following this today? It's not the past story of why you're standing that you should be ashamed or that you should be thinking. It's about the fact that you're able to stand in a church today publicly with a testimony without even opening your mouth that God has set you free. You've been resurrected today. That's worth telling. Be seated. Let's close. I lied to myself today and said, it's Father's Day. I'm only going to preach 30 minutes. I want you to know that every time I get up here to preach, I have a goal to be done in 25 to 30 minutes. Never happens. But you know what? I don't want to stop before the Holy Spirit's finished. So we're going to go until he's done. And if that keeps us small but keeps us moving in the streets, who cares how many come in? How many are we getting to? You know, that's my thing. We may run 200, 300 on a Sunday. I don't care about that. Did we reach 1,000 this week out there where it actually matters? But I'm going to tell you this. If people are going to come, we've got to be ready to forgive. We've got to be ready to love. We've got to be ready to go. You got to be willing to serve and to step outside of your comfort zone. Somebody asked me yesterday and another person to start praying Ephesians 3:20, and it so moved me that I really want to put it out to the entire church. Can you put that verse on the screen and we'll close with it? I want you to read it with me. Matter of fact, stand. That's how you know I'm serious. Stand, we'll read it, and we'll go. Ready? Out loud. As if Tennessee's back and just won a ball game. Ready? Here we go. Ready? Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we may ask or think. Church, I'm a pastor. I want our church to grow. But you know how I want it to grow? One sinner at a time. One lost soul at a time. One recovered marriage at a time. One free addict at a time. One restoration of hope at a time. We're about to get into those good verses. There's one baptism, one God, one Father, one, he's in all, he's moving, he's working through all. And, I mean, we're about to get into the rally verses of the church, but I'm going to tell you this now. There is no one until we humble ourselves to take the method of Christ, which is humble, hey, patient, make an allowance, and we'll come back next week for the next one. I love you. I really do. Do you love each other? Don't tell me. Prove it. Show it. Care for someone today. Before we go, and Courtney, before you leave, I do want to say congratulations to her. She graduated. You just step up here. I know you're on a walker. Just come to the front here. We honored some graduates last week, and she graduated from Walter State Community College with Associates of Science, right? What was your specialty? What were you,
Business.
Business, okay. And so young and old or middle-aged or whatever we want to say, what is it you said to me last week? You're never too old to let God use your life and do something in life. So we're very proud of you. We're thankful for you. So be praying. I know we won't get to see you for a while, right? Going back to take care of dad and family. And so she's been gone for a few months now. Since November. Since November. Got to come in for a few weeks, now heading back out. So we all love on her and tell her how thankful you are for her. I'm proud of you. All right, God bless you. What an inspiration. Let's go make a difference, okay? I do want to wish you a happy Father's Day. I'm going to let Garrett just come and close us in a word of prayer, if you don't mind, Garrett. And let's just spend time together. There's nothing happening at the church today. We want our families to be together, so go home. Enjoy that. For those of you that are visiting, it's good to see some of your kids with you. That is awesome. I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful Father's Day. God bless you. All right, Garrett, take us home.
Appreciate that message. They always seem to hit real hard. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just pray that we would be those people that would go out there and and share the grace that you've given us, Lord. Lord, there's going to be a lot of people in heaven, we know that, but not one of them deserves it. And Father, that includes us. May we remember that when we're sharing with others. Father, we love you, and we lift this up in Jesus' name. Amen.